welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. When someone asked Jesus, what's the most important thing in the whole Bible? Jesus didn't hesitate. Love God. We pray this season of the podcast will help you and your loved ones grow in love for God.
The psalmists talk about having one desire, only one desire, and desiring nothing on earth besides God. What it means is all of their enjoyments of these of earthly pleasures, all their enjoyments of God's gifts, are enjoyments of expressions of God's love because they're expressions of God's love. That's what makes them delightful. This is what they mean. And the chief reasons why the pleasures in life are delightful to them is not the pleasure itself, but what it means. The fact that it's an expression, a gesture of God's love. And when you enjoy God's gifts that way, then the more you enjoy them, the better. Right? And that's really great news. Most of the time, people don't understand that. Most of the time, people think that we need to be careful not to enjoy God's gifts too much, lest they turn into idolatry. Right? You get too carried away with something, then it becomes an idol. So some people will say, if food has become an idol in your life, then the solution is, you love food too much. You need to back off, dial it back a little bit, and love it less. It's okay to enjoy your job. It's okay to enjoy a relationship or vacations or some other God-given gift. Just as long as you don't enjoy it too much, just as long as you don't desire it too much. And so the goal becomes to have a mediocre enjoyment of everything. Think about that for a second. Does that even make sense? If you give somebody a gift, do you want them to enjoy it a little bit or a lot? You want them to enjoy it a lot. The more the better, right? The husband who sees the breakfast as a gesture of his wife's love and enjoys it for that reason, then the more he enjoys it, the better, the more it honors her. If a man falls in love with a woman and he comes one day and presents her with an engagement ring, does he want her to be happy? Yes, if she's happy because of what it means. If she's only happy because she collects diamonds and she's just interested in the ring, you know, she knows exactly how much money it's worth and everything, and she doesn't care one bit about the man, that's not what he's looking for. But if she's happy because of what the ring means, then the happier she is, the better, the more it honors him, because her happiness is in him, not the diamond. The diamond is the occasion for it, but the happiness is in his love. So when the psalmists say, I only have one desire, what that means is all of their enjoyments of all the earthly pleasures in life derive from one desire, their desire for God. So does Asaph enjoy a good night's sleep? Of course he did. Of course he did. But not for the same reason that an atheist enjoys a good night's sleep. The Christian sees a good night's sleep like an engagement ring, a gift that's a gesture of love. And we delight in that gift, not because of the appraised value of the gift, oh, this sleep will enable me to be rested tomorrow. It's not because of the appraised value, it's because of what it means. The next morning, we are mostly saying, not, oh, I'm happy now because I'm well rested. Mostly what we're saying is, oh, I'm happy now because last night God showed me his favor. He smiled on me last night. And I love the feeling of being smiled upon by God. That's fellowship. That delicious steak dinner, the wonderful friendship, the joy of having children, the thrill of some sport, water skiing, or whatever you like to do, all the pleasures of life enjoyed because of what they mean, because of the fact that they are expressions of God's love for us, that's fellowship with God. So, how can you tell how you're doing in this area? If you're a one-desire man, one-desire woman, or if you're enjoying the pleasures of this world in the wrong way? There's a test that I could suggest. Go ahead and just pick out your favorite earthly pleasure. favorite one, relationship, whatever. And ask yourself this question. Which would I prefer? Having that pleasure, but losing the favor of God? If I had to choose between the two, and one option is you get to keep the pleasure, but you forfeit the favor of God, the nearness of God's presence. Or option number two, lose that earthly treasure, but still have the favor of God in your life. Which one of those sounds more desirable to you? Which one sounds more enjoyable to you? You can tell where your desires are, whether you're enjoying earthly pleasures in the right way by which one of those sounds more delightful. If God came to me and said, Daryl, you can either keep your house and your family and I'm going to turn my face away from you, or you can lose your family and lose your house, but I'm going to turn my face toward you and draw near to you. Which one do you prefer? And if that second one sounds better to me, that's a good sign. If that first one sounds better to me, then I'm gaining my enjoyment from earthly treasures rather than God. Does that make sense? That's just a test you can give yourself. And if you don't think that you could enjoy life if you lost your wife, your husband, your house, your stuff, you lost the earthly pleasures, and all you had was the favor of God and none of the earthly stuff, if you think of that, it's like, no way, I couldn't be happy. I would never be able to be happy if that happened. If that would be miserable to you, heaven will be miserable to you. Because the central figure in heaven is the nearness of God's presence. That's the central feature of heaven. Your house, your marriage, they're not going to be there. And you want to know two really cool things about living this way? Two great corollary truths about having one desire in life? For one thing, when you enjoy pleasures, earthly pleasures, because they're gestures of God's love, and you enjoy what they mean rather than just looking at the praise value of the gift itself. When you live that way, there's no limit to how much you can enjoy them. Like I said before, the more the better. The more enjoyment you have of earthly things, the more it honors God. Is that good news? You can enjoy life. This is what Ecclesiastes is all about. The importance of enjoying life for this reason. If I'm a one-desire man, then I can actually love my wife more than a multi-desire man can love his wife. Because a multi-desire, you know, when I say multi-desire, what I'm talking about is a guy who says, well, I put God first, wife second, kids third, job fourth, and then they've got this pecking order. He's got multiple desires and he's just got them in a list. If you live that way, if you're a multi-desire person, then you got to be careful not to get anything out of order, right? You got to have, wife has to stay right there at number two. She can't dip below number three or go up to number one. She's got to stay right there. So a guy like that, you know, he might, if he fills out an accountability sheet with his accountability partner like I do each week, maybe on his list, 1 week, he'd say, oh, you pray for me. I blew it this week. I loved my wife too little. She dropped way down to number four, you know, or whatever. And then the next week, he's confessing another sin. He's like, oh man, I blew it this week. I loved her too much. Pray for me that I can learn to have medium love for my wife. That's the kind of life you're doomed to if you're a multi-desire person. But a one-desire man, there's no limit to how much I can love my wife. If I desire my wife and enjoy my wife as an enjoyment of the expression of God's love to me, then the more I enjoy her, the more I love her and delight in her, the better. Right? The more I honor God. Because I'm actually enjoying Him in my enjoyment of her. And so it would be impossible for me to love her too much, delight in her too much, desire her too much, because you can't honor God too much. So that's one great thing about being a one-desire person. Another really cool thing about it is this. If you live this way, you never have to ever be afraid of losing access to happiness. If all your happiness is ultimately derived from the giver of the gifts and not the gifts themselves, then as long as the giver is still around, you have access to happiness, even if you lose all the gifts. If the reason I enjoy the special breakfast is because it's a gesture of my wife's love for me, and then something happens where I can't have the breakfast anymore, but I still have the wife, then I'm fine. Right? If my joy was truly coming from her love and not the food itself. If the woman getting engaged truly is excited, not just because she collects diamonds, but because she's excited about being engaged to that man, then even if she happens to lose the ring or something happens to the ring, she still has her joy because she's still engaged. So the question is not how much do you enjoy God's gifts, too much, too little, all that. That's not the issue. The issue is why do you enjoy them? How do you enjoy them? If you like them because of what they mean, that honors God. In fact, not only honors God, it's worship. It's acceptable, pleasing worship to Him, to enjoy His gifts that way. But if you like them in and of themselves, that your enjoyment of them is idolatry and it dishonors God. That's why I've told you so many times, think of every earthly pleasure as a mailman coming to deliver a letter, a message from heaven that says, I love you. That's what the pleasures of this world are for. That's what they do. All your favorite things in this whole wide world, all the things you love in this world, are mailmen carrying various different letters from God that express His love to you. Now let me ask you this. Are you reading the letters? Do you bother to just open up the envelope and pull out the letter and actually read it, interpret the meaning of life's pleasures, interpret them as gestures of God's love to you, actually read the letter? Or are you more interested in the mailman? The mailman itself. The delivery system of the letter. Man gets drafted into military service, goes overseas, writes a love letter to his wife every single week on the same day, arrives at her house on the same day each week. Does that man want his wife to get excited when she sees the mailman coming down the street? Depends on why she's excited, right? If she's excited about the fact that she's getting a love letter from her dear husband, then yeah, the more excited she gets, the better. But if she doesn't care about the letter, doesn't even read the letter, she's just excited about because she's interested in the mailman himself. Well, that's no good. Then her excitement is adulterous, and it dishonors her husband. Oreo blizzards are a mailman. I don't know if that's a profound theological statement or not, but that's the point we're making. Oreo blizzards are a mailman. It's a mailman carrying a message from the bridegroom in heaven saying, this is a gesture of my love for you. Your ability to enjoy this, that's what it is. It's a gesture of my love. My family, my house, my health, my bed, the Arkansas River, my cell phone, great music, the white sand beaches in the Caribbean Sea, all mailmen. Mailmen carrying messages from heaven saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. If I open the letters, do you know what I mean by opening the letter and read it? If I experience a pleasure and then stop and say, wait a minute, what does this pleasure mean? What's the message from heaven? The more I do that, the more excited I get about those gifts, the more excited I am about God Himself. I'm enjoying God by enjoying those pleasures. And at the same time, this is the amazing thing, as much as I enjoy those things, and I'm enjoying those things more than the multi-desire guy can enjoy, because he's got to keep it way down on the list, but I'm really enjoying it, he has to make sure Oreo blizzards, how far down on the list is that? That's like way down there, and so he can barely enjoy his Oreo blizzard. I'm way up here with it, because mine is worship. As much as I enjoy all the pleasures of this world, I have zero fear of losing any of them or all of them. Because I could lose them all and I still wouldn't lose God. And so there's no fear. There's nothing to worry about. See, that's a great way to live.
I think probably the most important question in today's podcast was the question, are you reading the letter? If you think of every earthly pleasure as a mailman delivering a message from heaven to you, the question is, are you reading those messages? Are you just enamored with the mailman? Or are you actually reading the messages so that you're becoming more enamored with the one sending the messages from heaven? I'd urge you to give that some thought today. If you have the book, Deeper Knowledge of God, or the old title, What's So Great About God, Meditations 17 and 18 are the ones that go along with today's podcast. So if you want to go in some more depth, you may want to take a look at those. At the end of each devotional, there's a section that just says think, something for you to think about. And at the end of 18, the think question is, consider what pleasures you're likely to experience today and rehearse ahead of time so that when you experience those pleasures, you can do so as worship, pleasing worship to God rather than as idolatry against God. Now, in tomorrow's podcast, we're going to take a break and answer some questions that arose about what we've covered so far. We're going to handle questions like this. If you interpret God's gifts as gestures of His love and favor, then wouldn't the loss of those things imply the loss of God's favor? Or is that not the case? Number two, what if God gives too much, putting you at risk of greed? Is that favor from God? In Proverbs 30, verse 8, it says, give me neither poverty nor riches, but only my daily bread, because if I get too much, then I might forget you, and so on. So we'll deal with that question. Next, is it wrong to be sorrowful when we lose earthly things, since we still have God? If you lost your spouse or something like that, you still have God. So is it wrong to grieve and mourn, and at what point does that become wrong? Number five, can we deceive ourselves into thinking we are enjoying God through His gifts when in reality we're enjoying the gifts themselves? And then number six, how do you know if something is a gift from God or a trap from Satan designed to trip you up? All of that will be in tomorrow's podcast. We'll see you then.
Thank you for listening. We would love to hear from you. Your thoughts about the materials in these studies are important to us, and they may be helpful for others as well. A link to this podcast is posted on the Food for Your Soul Facebook page every weekday morning. You're invited to follow that page and post your reactions to that day's content. Your perspective might be just what someone else needs to gain insight. And when a session is especially helpful, feel free to click on the share button so others can find it too.
This content has been provided to you free of charge by the generous supporters of Food for Your Soul Ministries. For information on how you can support Food for Your Soul, visit us online at treasuringgod.com. There you'll find over 1,000 sermons, as well as articles, books, and many other resources, all available for free download.
Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always, and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.